Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Jazz here, and I am so digging the Geekcast Radio Network.
Cliffjumper, commence countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, ToyCast. Oh, yes. Listen in to the only toy podcast you will ever need.
As long as, the numbers keep going up, next thing you know, you'll hit 2 million.
Yeah. That's funny. You're a comedian there.
Hey, you never know. It could happen.
It could.
Come on, boy!
Bart's Butterfingers, so butterfingery.
Hit a homer, dude!
No! Crispity, crunchity Butterfinger from Nestle.
Nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of ToyCast as we get the origins of any and all toy fans that we can. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and the first Origins guest in 2024 is none other than Mr. Wasatch Pop, a.k.a. Mason, who has 52,400 subscribers on YouTube. How the hell did that happen, and how the hell have you been?
Oh, man, I couldn't tell you how it happened, but I'm doing great, man.
That's awesome.
And I'm honored to be your first guest for 2024. I had no idea that was the case, but I'm honored you thought of me, because that's a big deal right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So the audience knows this, but we've been doing Origins 42 questions all about toy collecting since 2021. I brought the podcast back after 7 years of hiatus because one of the guys that started it with me passed away back in 2011 or 2010 or something. And I'm like, I get out of toy collecting back then. And I'm like, oh, and then, late 2016, I found, I think it was the original group. My buddy had the original group pop. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Ever since January of 2017, I haven't looked back with Funko, at least with the pops. The sodas, I don't know.
Yeah, it's always hard to embrace new stuff, but I feel like that's probably the easiest to embrace out of anything, like Funko, I would say, but
because they have almost everything.
Yeah, it's true.
Almost everything. There's one that they don't have yet that I've been asking for the past 6.5 years. And I'm like, you jerks, you could have teamed up with Shout Factory and did it with the complete series set. I want Alf, damn it.
I actually have heard a lot of people wanting that one. He's a classic character, man. Yeah. He's a big time. I don't know why they wouldn't have done it already. It's weird.
Yeah, well, Funko is weird, so there is that.
It is true.
But yeah, so Mason is here. We're going to get to talking all about the toys and how he got into toy collecting and everything else. So what is or was the first toy you remember having as a kid?
Ooh, that is a good question. I want to say it may have been Lego, I think. I'm trying to think back of to like what I started like first collect. I guess collecting and toys are a little bit different. They kind of, but they do go hand in hand. I think as far as for me, like the first stuff that I can remember would probably be like Bionicle Legos and like Hot Wheels cars, I would say.
Nice.
Yeah, and I had one of those big like carrying cases where you could keep all your Hot Wheels cars in and everything, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Hot Wheels superior, Matchbox inferior.
I never heard that, but I totally agree with you. I but then again, I probably had a few Matchbox cars mixed in there and I had no idea, you know. So
yeah, that's usually the way it goes, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the Hot Wheels logo, you got a little flame. It looks way cooler. So, I mean, you know, in that regard, I would say I probably liked Hot Wheels more just because, you know, fire's cool, right? I mean, come on.
Fire's cool, yeah.
And the funny thing is, I don't think Matchbox had, like, Hot Wheels were, well, like you said, they get the fire logo, and I've seen a bunch of Hot Wheels ads, and I've seen a bunch of Matchbox ads, too, but, like, between Hot Wheels, Matchbox, and Micro Machines. Micro Machines had John Machida Jr., a.k.a. Blur, so that's just an instantaneous sell for kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Guy that talks a million miles a minute selling you these little cars, so, yeah. Was there a particular adult who was supportive of you playing with toys as a kid? Was there anyone who was unsupportive?
I had my brothers and my sister, so I mean they were always supportive of me. I have my older sister, my older brother, so I probably played with similar stuff that they had. I mean my parents supported it too. Besides toys, I was always outside, you know, playing sports and stuff too, like baseball, basketball, but they were supportive with any hobbies that I had or anything that I wanted to, you know, toys that I wanted to collect or play with. So I wouldn't say there was really anybody that was unsupportive by any means, but I definitely had, you know, people that would, you know, gift me stuff and things like that. And then from there, I kind of found things that I liked. But yeah, I would probably say my family was probably the biggest one. Not the most exciting answer by any means, but
no, I
would say they were the most influential for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. What types of toys were your favorites to play with?
Oh, man. I mean, like I said, Hot Wheels was a big one. I loved, like I said, the Bionicles, because those were ones that you could put together. And like when you collected them and stuff, you could build like one like mega big Bionicle Lego figure, which I thought was really cool. And then I'm trying to think of the other things that I played with. I mean, I not really necessarily toys, and we'll probably get to this as well, but like baseball cards and basketball cards was a big thing, a part of my childhood as well. So I won't go too much into that, and I'm assuming we'll probably get to that. But
oh my, well, we can do it now because it's not really on here, but it's funny because we just finished that's the reason why you're the first Origins guest of the year, is because we just did last week the wrap up for our top 100 toys countdown, and sports cards made it on the list. And I'm sitting here thinking, how the hell are sports? I mean, yes, according to the Toy Hall of Fame, they are a toy, but I'm like, and then I went through my closet and I found old Red Sox cards. And I'm like, okay, I took a picture of it, sent it to my buddy. Look, I'm playing with my sports. You don't really play with them. You look at them, you read the stats, and that's it. I mean, it's not like they transform or anything.
No, there's not much utility to it other than no. collecting. But I mean, if you look at like other cards, like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or like Pokemon, they're actually, you actually do play the game, and it could be considered toys. Like,
yeah, those, yes, like, absolutely, yeah. And yeah, so, but like, unless, you know, you're gonna get into starting lineup, which actually did make the list, actually tied, I think, for 101 or something like that. I forget what it ended up being. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer the label of action figures, dolls, toys, or other labels?
I mean, action figures is fine. I don't care if they're called toys. That's cool too. Collectibles is up there. Mm-hmm. I always like to joke because people like to say that Funko Pops are dolls. Mm-hmm. And so kind of backtracking a little bit, like, so I ended up doing like YouTube, and it turned into like a small business or whatever. I ended up going full-time last year in April, And so whenever anybody asks me, they're like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I just collect dolls, you know. I say it to be funny, and then they just kind of laugh. But then I'm like, and then I kind of talk about it a little more and kind of explain the business behind it and then the channel. So, but I mean, I'll say dolls as a joking thing and people usually laugh. But I mean, I'm pretty open to calling it whatever, honestly.
Yeah, and most people are. The reason why I phrase that question that way is because in the 80s, folks, when we were kids, one of the family members, which grandpa, uncle, aunt, grandma, oh, there's Mikey playing with his dolls. Like, they're not dolls, grandma. Like, that's where that question comes from.
I mean, like, when you think of dolls, you think of just like the, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like the
real
like
hair stuff. Barbies, 12 inch. Anything even, below 12 inches is an action figure.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, even like the ones that are like super duper old school that like people made themselves, you know, just out of like cloth and you stuffed it. Like that to me seems more like dolls.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's just me.
Yeah, absolutely. Good guys or bad guys, which toys were your favorites to play with the most?
Oh man, good guys for sure. I would say I mean, to be fair, it just kind of depended on like what I was playing with. So like, I feel like the most iconic like bad guys would be like Disney stuff. Mm-hmm. And so if I did have anything that was related to that, like I would lean more towards villains and Disney because they're the cooler characters, honestly. But I mean, good guys, obviously, like, I mean, I love Nickelodeon, so any Nickelodeon characters. I don't feel like there's tons of like villains really in Nickelodeon, but so I think I lean more towards good guys, I would say. It just kind of depends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What is or was your favorite toy vehicle or playset?
Toy vehicle or playset. I mean, we talked about Hot Wheels, and you know, me and my brothers, we would always build really cool tracks and stuff. We'd always put them down like the stairs in our basement to see how fast they'd get going. You put a loop down at the bottom. I think actually I had one of those ones where like they started on different ends and then they kind of all met in the middle and you'd see which one would crash. If you remember that one, like the Hot Wheels set. And they're like the little wheels, you know, and then they'd spin and then they'd send the cars to the middle. I remember having that and that was an absolute blast. But I'm trying to think, and there was some Lego sets that I had. There was one in particular that I remember really liking. It was like an NBA basketball Lego set. And what you did was you'd have your guy and he would be kind of like stationed in the middle and he'd have some springs on the bottom. And so you put a little basketball in his hand, and you'd flick him backwards and it would go into the hoop. And I thought that was awesome. I'd do that for hours. Like, so I don't know if that's considered a play set by any means, but those would be the ones that I feel like I have the more like fond memories of.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
Oh man, features. Accessories are a big deal. I would say you gotta have the fun, fine details. And I feel like that's something that they did pretty good back in the day, but I feel like they almost do it better now. Like I see figures of things like, I'm trying to think of the specific brand or whatever it is. I want to say it's, anyways, I saw some, like, I think it was Kid Robot, like, SpongeBob figures. Mm-hmm. And, like, the details that they put into those is, like, insane. Like, it calls back to so many different episodes that I remember watching as a kid. So, for me, I think, you know, the most important things is those, just those little things that help call back to kind of the nostalgic. Even if it's, like, really tiny references and things, I feel like that's the most important. I don't know. At least for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What does toy packaging have to draw you in? So you go into whichever big box store, because we can't call them toy stores because they don't exist anymore. You go into the toy section or whatever. You go into a local comic shop or you go into the mall or whatever, and you see 7 different Funko Pops or 7 different whatevers, and we'll get to Funko way later in this episode, folks. Trust me, we always do. But what does the packaging have to draw you in to make you want to buy that? Like, for example, again, you're a kid, so your parent, your mom or your dad might say, okay, you only have $11, $12, you know, like, what does the packaging have to for you to be like, this is what I want?
I think for me, I mean, obviously, you know, when you're collecting like action figures and stuff, they can come in different ways, you know, with the different boxes and like the on card kind of stuff. I think for me, as far as it being accessible, a lot easier, because in my mind, like I've always collected things. If I pick something up that's like on card, I'm more inclined not to open it. But if it's something that's easy to open up in a box and maybe even put back in, then I feel like I'd buy that a little bit more. Because, like, obviously, we're going to get to Funko and everything, but those are pretty easy to open up, take out. If you want them to display it out of box, that's great. And so for me, I feel like if it's, you know, if it's something that you want to display out of the box and it's easy to do so, then I feel like I'm more inclined to do that. Rather than, like, if the packaging, like, is colorful and things like that, I don't think, to me, that really matters as long as it's, like, related to something that I really like. But I think the most important thing to me is if I can access it a lot easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and most toy packaging, once you open it, unless you use like an X-Acto knife, you're, you know, pretty much screwed.
Yeah. And I guess it depends on how, like, you're looking at something. If you're, if the intention is to collect it, or if it's to play with it, or depending on how you want to display it, I guess that's kind of some different factors too. But
So this is kind of in the same vein. Do you open your toys or do you leave them packaged? If you keep toys packaged, do you have a specific criteria for that?
So, I mean, it depends. So I don't only collect like Funko Pops. So I have like some Lego sets that I hold on to and some sports cards and things like that. But it just depends on what it is. I mean, Funko Pops, I love to display them out of box. I take a ton of different, like, I do a lot of, like, really cool, like, flat lay, like, pictures and stuff that I post on Instagram of, like, different sets and things when I come up with ideas. So it could be a number of different things, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If as a kid or an adult you were only allowed to choose one toy franchise to collect from, which one would you choose and why?
I mean, can I be biased and just say Funko because they have all sorts of different licenses?
Yeah, that's usually what most of the Funko people I get to come on, that's usually what they're going to say, because like we've said, they've got everything.
You're like, I don't know, I'm just going to say like NECA or something, or I don't know, just throw you off. No, for sure Funko, there's just too many licenses that I like, and they're always making new characters and stuff, but yeah, for sure them.
As an adult, do you prefer vintage toys or modern toys?
I like a good mixture. I mean, I like the fact that with newer stuff that I collect, I mean, they're bringing back franchises that I enjoyed as a child, but also things that I enjoy now. So it just depends. If I find something that I think is really cool that's old too, like for me, I've been trying to get into like, these aren't toys necessarily, but like retro, like vintage t-shirts. Of like things that related to my childhood, whether that be like cartoons or sports and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that's probably what I would say on that one, at least.
Yeah. For this, again, aside, it's only because you brought up t-shirts, folks. For years, I still buy every once in a while, but I was a customer at Ripped Apparel, rippedapparel.com. Mm-hmm. These are the guys that do all the like the mashups of various designs, and they have artists that like will put Transformers and Terminator together or something, and they do these really cool reference. I had a whole cloth, like 20 or 30 or however many of these teeth. So no, I know where the whole, they weren't necessarily, I guess technically they were retro, even though they were new design, but it was just so fun. So I completely understand that.
Yeah.
When you go into your office or wherever you usually keep your toys, what is the one toy you gravitate to more than the rest? So what's the one thing you're going to always want to play with?
Oh man. Okay. Well, so any of my Simpsons stuff, I always gravitate to. Mm-hmm. So, I try and collect everything Simpsons that I find. So, obviously, Funko Pops, Lego sets. What else do I have? Like, other little, like, kid robot figures, too. I really like those blind box, like, Simpsons mystery figures. So, anything Simpsons, I feel like I'm more willing to gravitate to. This isn't really toy related, but I bought one of the Simpsons, like, arcade one-up machines.
Yeah, so I saw that video.
That for me is the easiest to kind of like turn on and just play, even though it's not really a toy necessarily, but it's surrounding, you know, my favorite stuff that I like. And honestly, it just brings back really good memories of me, you know, playing that exact same game at like my local like pool. They had that same arcade machine. Yep. So, I mean, not necessarily a toy, but, you know, I would say that would probably be the easiest thing for me to gravitate to would be anything Simpsons.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, video games are toys. You play with them. They're a form of entertainment, and if it entertains us, then I guess we're playing with it.
Oh yeah, I played plenty of video games back in the day. So we'll throw that in the toy quote unquote toy category. Things you play with. There you go.
It's funny he says that, folks. He might be back later this year over on Studio 2009 because I am just launching the Gamer Origins 30 questions all about video games.
Oh man, I would have to be a little bit more of a staple in the video game community before I do that. I can just say I'm a fan. I don't add any more insight to that, but.
Yeah, but you know, we all grew up with it. We all played them, so that's, you know. True. The origins are very, you know, how you grew up with whatever it is. So toys, video games, comics, cartoons, whatever.
Right.
Even though there are always toy lines that people never purchase, are there any that you specifically and purposefully avoid? This can be a toy line, specific character, etc.
Oh, dang. That's a tough one. Specifically that I avoid. Oh, man. Dang, you're throwing down the real tough ones. I mean, I don't know. Some of the stuff that requires like a lot of building. I mean, I say that I really like Lego, but that's pretty simple building. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I wasn't really a fan. My brothers were really into this. Like, do you know like the Kinects?
Yep.
Like building stuff. Like it was fun, but I felt like it was more complicated and stuff. And so I think for me, I try and avoid those kind of things maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wouldn't say that I go out of my way to like blatantly avoid stuff, but maybe that might be my best thing that I would, I don't know, not really want to pick up, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And those, some of those between Erector sets and Kinects and, that's too much work. I just want to play with the thing. I don't like when we did the top 100, we talked about Mousetrap made it on there somewhere. I forget which entry, Mousetrap, the board game. And I'm like, You spend 5.5 hours setting it up and 5 minutes playing it. How is that fun?
And it's like pulling teeth. That is awful.
Exactly. Yeah. Are there any toys in the past or currently that you wish you had not bought them? And are there any toys that you may have sold that you regret letting them go?
Oh, geez. Oh, man. I would say, I mean, dang, I can't think of anything that I really let go of in my childhood that I sold, really. Mm-hmm. I think all that stuff is still at my parents' house, but I don't think there's anything that I would regret selling. I think maybe, I don't know, if we're on the topic of video games, I do remember, like, actually selling a good chunk of like old GameCube games and Wii games and like some Super Nintendo stuff that we had. And like some of that, I mean, during COVID went up in value quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, like sometimes value doesn't usually play a big role in some things, you know, that you have, but like it kind of just stings a little bit to know that you had something cool that you liked playing that actually did go up in value. So yeah, I would probably say video games if we can count that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How large or small is your toy collection? Do your toys take up the whole house, or are they relegated to one room, shelf, or something like that?
So here's the thing. If it took up my whole house, my wife would absolutely roast me. She would kill me. So I take up probably the biggest room in my basement. And I mean, I have a little bit of an older house, so it's not huge by any means, but like it's a decent sized room, and that's where, you know, my office is, where I keep my Funko Pop collection or anything else that kind of ease its way into my collection as well. So I do have a dedicated room, and anytime I have anything that's kind of hanging out around the house, I usually get told, what's this doing here? Why is this up here? And I'll be like, you're right. My bad.
That's going to come up way later, folks. Oh boy. Yeah. How do you keep track of your collection?
Oh, I mean, for me, I mean, obviously there's some apps. There's the Funko app that you can use. You can use HobbyDB as well, like Pop Price Guide. But as time goes on, I feel like I just haven't really been like scanning things into that. And like, but I do organize things. So, I mean, I have my shelves that are dedicated to the things that I collect. So you got like Simpsons. I'm actually like looking at it right now, like Looney Tunes, like serial character stuff, like classic, like 90s, early 2000s cartoons. So everything's like organized in a way. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I use both the Funko app and HobbyDB. I only use the Funko app just so I can know how many I have. It isn't really for the values because, as we all know, the Funko app has been garbage for the last couple of years because whatever. But
it's impossible to know any sort of value. Like,
just use it as a, this is what I have, this is how many I have, kind of thing. How do you display your toys?
So at least for Pops, I have a couple of different ways that I really like. So there's a shelf that you can buy at Walmart that's like a 6-tier like bookshelf. Usually gets the job done. It's pretty inexpensive. I want to say it's only like $50 or something. So I have a couple of those, and that holds tons of stuff. I really enjoyed using these. They're like these IKEA picture ledges as well, and those usually display stuff really good, and those are cheap too. I have these little like display things that I put on my wall. They're from Vaulted Vinyl, if you've ever heard of them.
Yep.
And they display like 9 pops basically, and it's a cool way to kind of display your grails maybe and kind of flex them, quote unquote flex them, if you will, if you have some cool stuff. But I would say that's probably my main stuff, and then I just have some like built-in shelves that were already kind of existed in some closets and stuff in this room, so that definitely helps. But those would probably be my favorite.
Very cool. So everybody is safe, family members, spouse, pets, everybody's safe, but the house is on fire.
Oh no.
If you can only keep one toy from your entire collection, what would it be and why?
Oh no. Oh geez.
What's the one toy you would run in and save? You can only pick one.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Let's see. I mean, maybe the original Homer pop that I have. Because that one's a pretty expensive one, hard one to find. I do have a couple of signed pops that I think are really cool. I love the movie The Sandlot. Mm-hmm. And so I have some pops signed by the cast members. And maybe it could be those. Oh, dang, dude. Is there like a group that we can save? Like,
that's after the ad break.
I mean, if we're going for value, I am holding on to something that's like worth like close to like $4,000. But it's one that like I've been kind of keeping. Maybe I trade it away. But if like I wanted something that's value that I could just take and then buy stuff later, maybe I'd just do that. So, I don't know.
That's
a tough one.
Yeah. People always get stuck on that question. All right, folks, we are gonna go to a quick ad break. You're gonna hear some ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back with the rest of the questions right after this.
Just an old guy talking about old toys. It's me, Willie, from the Toy Tube Podcast. I talk about toys from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, few 90s, and some mixtures of other toys in there as well. If you'd like to hear me talk about some old toys in podcast form, I'm available on Apple, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Just like an infectious earworm, I'm all over the place. If you like to see videos on old toys and old retro games, check out my YouTube channel at Arcade USA. Thanks for listening.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get the band.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers!
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe!
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
One of the primary themes of ToyCast is that we focus on throwing it back to the past. We are who we are today because of the nostalgic memories and experiences from our childhood. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this show if it weren't for the toys that made us so addicted to nostalgia. Throwback Toys Chicago is your primary go-to collectible store to reclaim the toys that drove those memories and experiences. Specializing in action figures from all of your favorite toy lines like Star Wars, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, Silverhawks, Ghostbusters, TMNT Mask, and more, get your dose of nostalgia with a shop run by collectors for collectors. Whether you are looking for a loose G.I. Joe ice cream soldier, a packaged Leonardo, recent Star Wars Black Series figures, or an AFA-graded Boba Fett, Throwback Toys Chicago is all about throwing you back into your geeky obsession with toys. Visit the shop at 1450 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, just two blocks south of Ashland and North Ave. Call the shop at 847-830-1031 or email them at tbtchicago@gmail.com. Visit them and give Throwback Toys Chicago a chance to throw you back to your childhood.
So basically, my name is Fun Employed, and I'm here with my partner at Random Hat Studio, aka Emily, and we stream on Whatnot every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. We look for family, friends, rehoming great collectibles to people that are willing to partake, and we give a portion of our funds every week to a specific charity, and looking to pay it forward back to the community that made everything that we do so wholesome.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover ToyCast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled-out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover ToyCast.
All right, we are back here on ToyCast with Mr. Wasatch Pop. Question 21 is the flip side of question 20. Here's the Toy Box Challenge. You get one 18 by 18 by 18 box. The only toys you can keep have to fit in the box. What can you pack into it?
Oh, man. Okay, so when you say 18 by, is that 18 feet, right?
That's height, width, and depth.
Okay. So are we talking like big box, or are you talking like...
Yeah, basically medium box, medium-sized box kind of stuff. Right.
I feel like I got to throw an assortment stuff in there. I mean, obviously, I'd throw some pops in there for sure. I mean, me and my wife, we really like building Lego sets together, so I got to throw a couple of those in there. I can't say specifically maybe which one, but I don't know. That's a tough question too. I would say a good mixture of Funko Pops, good mixture of Lego, and I'm sure there's something else in there that I'm forgetting, but yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks. If you're not a Funko fan, you better tune out for the next little while because question 22, are you a Funko fan? Duh.
Yeah, a little bit.
When did you first find them, and what was it about them that you liked the most?
Well, so let's kind of go back. I'm trying to think of the first Funko. Well, I think, you know what, where it all started is I found a YouTube video, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. His name's P2 Vision. P2? Mm-hmm. Have you heard of him before?
No, I haven't.
So he would go out to like all the different stores. I mean, obviously he collected a bunch of stuff, but he went through a Funko kick at one point. And he'd be going to like Walgreens and stuff looking for like chases and things like that. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And so I kind of did the same thing. And I'll be completely honest with you. When I first got into Funko, like I was like, oh, some of this stuff is actually worth a good amount. And so I was like, okay, maybe I can find things and like sell them. But it eventually kind of turned into me collecting a bunch of stuff as well because they had so many different things that I liked.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just transformed into that. But So, okay, let's go back. What was the question again? I feel like I'm just rambling. I just want to make sure I'm covering my bases.
Like, what was it about Funko that you liked the most kind of thing? So we know you're a Funko fan. People have seen your channel. People have seen your videos. People see you go out on your hunts and everything else. But when you first found them, what was it about Funko that you liked the most?
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. We're getting back on track here. So I think the simplicity, I like the way that it was displayed. I think that's great. You can take it out of the box, put it back in the box. The fact that there's maybe some rarity to it as well. Like you have something that maybe not everybody has. And I mean, the fact that they make characters of a bunch of different things and they all display the same way. I mean, obviously they make different sizes of Funko Pops and stuff too. So you'll have different sizes of boxes and figures and things, but for the most part, they all, you know, display the same, and you can have so many different things of things that you like, and they'll able to be, you know, all in one spot, if that makes sense. So that's kind of what attracted to me, at least Funko, was just, you know, the overall displayability of things and the fact that I could collect pretty much anything from the things that I liked.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you've watched Mason's channel at all in the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, however long. How long have you been on YouTube?
Oh, man. I think it started, let's see, I want to say it was 2017, maybe even so 2018.
That's so, about 6 years or so.
About 6 years. I mean, I've been on and off, like pretty much like hardcore dedicated, making, you know, a couple videos every week, like off and on, you know. But yeah, I think I want to say it was sometime in 2017, 2018.
Yeah. So. Crap. Oh, yeah. So if you're hearing the sound of my voice, folks, you know that this has been around for a little while on his channel. How close are you to completing your entire $50 collection challenge?
Oh yeah. I'm glad you asked about that, because people ask me all the time. They're like, so did that like stop? And no, it didn't. Just things get in the way, and sometimes like I just get busy and stuff. But my goal is to finish that out in this month and in February, because I'm getting awfully close. I'm probably like 70% of the way through of all the different $100 pops that I need. Yeah.
Wow.
It's just, and I honestly could be making more videos, and I probably could have finished that a long time ago. It's just, I don't know. It's just a lot of other things happen. You go to different events and things, you make different types of videos, and you feel like it doesn't really fit into that. But yeah, I'm planning on finishing it and dedicating a little bit more time to get that done, because I definitely have other ideas that I want to move on to that are semi sort of related to that, but it kind of requires that series to be wrapped up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 70%. Wow.
Yeah. And there's some hard ones in there too, because I would prefer to, you know, find them in stores.
Yeah.
That makes a way better video, you know, like, oh, they had this and I've been looking for it forever and it's finally in front of me, rather than just like going online, buying it on Whatnot or eBay. Like that's just way boring. But it might actually have to do that. I might just make like one massive episode that's like maybe like an hour long of me just like, you know, finishing things out, finding things to add to my inventory, making sure I have enough money to buy stuff. Like it might just end up being one massive episode. We'll have to see.
Yeah. What's the biggest one you have left to get?
Oh, shoot. There's like some random category. You know, funny enough, I actually have it on my phone. I was looking at it earlier today because I have a new video for the series coming out on Sunday. So I was making sure I had my bases covered. But I mean, there's some ones that, like, let's see in here. Where did it go? I don't know. There's some weird ones that I still need to get, like the Pets line, like Pop Pets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and those ones you just don't see very often. Like,
no.
And like, football is another one. And that's a little bit more common, but still, I mean, it's just finding the right stuff. Like, the 8-bit line is another one.
Mm-hmm.
What else is in here? You got, like, South Park. Apparently, South Park's its own line of pops. And there's, like, I think there's 1 2-pack that's worth, like, $100. And I guess I could just buy it outright. But, like, I mean, what fun is that? You want to find it in person, right? So
yeah, exactly.
So it's just random categories like that. It's not, like, your mainline stuff, because that was honestly the easiest, because there's tons of $100 pops in those lines, so...
Yeah,
but I mean, like, I completed some pretty hard ones like the other day. Like, I got one in the Halo line because that's its own line of pops. And like UFC was another one that I completed, and that one's pretty hard to complete too for $100 pops. But yeah, I mean, all the easy ones are done. It's just a matter of, I don't know, just me getting them, I guess. Yeah.
So I have two of the Pop Pets pops. I have the German Shepherd and the Maine Coon Cat. Yeah. And I don't know if there are any actual valued $100 pops in the Pets line.
So, and here's the thing. I think, well, and I looked through at one point making sure that they did have $100 pops. Mm-hmm. I think I went through like Pop Price Guide maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but I think now it might have even have changed, and that's the point where I'm like, do I just, you know, scratch them off the list because I don't have $100 pops in them anymore, or do I still just get the highest one because it was on the list at one point?
Yeah.
So now, I mean, because the series have been going for a while and prices fluctuate, but
yeah.
I mean, for the most part, most of that $100 stuff will stay at around that price point. But yeah, like those weird obscure lines, sometimes those things change in price, so... That does bring up the question if you take it off the list or if you keep it on. I don't know.
Yeah. And it also goes to some of this when you've gone on some of these hunts from the episodes that I've seen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll, it's just over. Like it's 105 or it's 95. Like you're still going to grab it either way because it's still valued at $100 regardless of what you end up paying for it kind of thing. Like
right.
I bought from buddies of mine, I bought the Trix Rabbit, I think it's the flocked one. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's like $105 value. Yeah. I think I paid that price, which is fine. I don't mind paying that price. I'm not in this for the value at all, really.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, absolutely. So,
yeah, it definitely makes me reconsider maybe how I went about the series, like, because I've had a lot of fun with it. But if I were to like maybe go back and like redo it, I'd probably set collect instead of $100 pops, I'd probably do $50 ones.
Yeah,
that seems like it would be a little bit easier because I started with 50. And then I get $50. I don't know. That to me feels like it made a lot more sense. But, you know, I can't really go back now. So,
well, it's one of those things where if you, like you're saying, you may end up making one long video kind of thing to complete the series of the $50 Funko Pop challenge. And you may say in that, and I don't know if you will or not, but you may say in there, okay, guys, some of these lines, there aren't $100 valued pops. So, I just want to complete the line and say, hey, I have this Funko Pop from this line, I don't see a problem with that. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
Exactly. I don't know. It's a fun series, though, and I felt like it's a really creative idea, and there's still tons of things that I can do with it and retweak it and things like that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking of money and value and everything else, what was the most money you spent on a toy?
Most money I spent? Oh, man. That's a good question, too. I wouldn't say that's a ton, but I mean, completing the Simpsons set was pretty tough. I mean, cause some of those figures can go for like $400 to $600. Mm-hmm. I bought a prototype actually recently of a Sodino, like the meme pointing Spider-Man, like the 2-pack.
Yeah.
So I got one a couple of years ago at a Funko event. And so throughout the last couple of years, I've been trying to complete it to add, you know, the proto to complete the 2-pack set. And I found one. And so that one costed $400, which I didn't feel like was too bad because I got the other one for free at an event. So I was like, okay, I'm willing to spend $400. That's not bad at all. So I wouldn't say that I've spent like over $1,000 on anything, which I think eventually I will. There's some video ideas that I have to like to buy those pretty expensive ones. So we'll see if that appears later this year. But
on the flip side, what was the cheapest toy you bought, or what was the best deal you ever got for a figure that may have been worth quite a bit more than you paid?
Oh, dude, I've come across so many different deals. It's insane. And I mean, that's part of the $50 challenge, is finding good deals, you know, and being able to reinvest all those, you know, profits when you sell things back into things that you want to buy to complete collections and stuff. But, oh, man, I think the best deal that I ever came across I mean, obviously I've gotten things at events and things, but if you're familiar, last year I did come across a LeBron James like 150 piece gold pop. And that was in correlation with him passing, you know, the all-time scoring list or whatever. So now he's number one. And so he had it at a party or whatever. There's only 150 of them made, which I think there's probably less than that because they gave them away in like gift bags and stuff. So, but anyway, so that party ended up being here in Utah for the All-Star game last year. And somebody was selling it on like, basically it was like the equivalent of Craigslist. They sold it for like $900. And that ended up being worth, I think, like, because I was one of the first people to ever have it, like, at least out in the market and stuff. I think it was worth about, like, $8,000 at the time.
Oh, so, wow.
So, I mean, 900 is a lot, nice. But when you know it's worth a lot more than that, like, I think you're willing to you know, buy that. And then if you want to sell it, great, which I ended up doing, and then it funded a lot of other things that I have. Like other trips that I went on for like the YouTube channel and stuff. But yeah, I would probably say that was probably the best deal that I've come across.
Yeah, the best deal I've ever come across that has nothing to do with value, but just spending the money. I spent $5 on 3 Diet Dr. Peppers, and then I got Little Sweet in the mail like 3 weeks later or whatever.
Oh, that's the best deal right there. Yep. Heck yeah, I totally forgot about that promotion. That is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, love that. Do you visit toy shows or conventions? When you visit toy shows or conventions, do you have a typical methodology? Do you bring a certain amount of money for what you're searching for, etc.?
So I visited a good handful of each. I'll usually, like, I never really gone to any, well, no, I have gone to a toy show that was outside of Utah, but I mean, whenever I go, I like to see if I can come across things that are good deals. And the best deals that I usually find is like out of box stuff. And that seems to be the most common thing that I find at like toy shows and things like that. As far as a budget goes, it just depends on if I'm going in there for like my personal collection or if I'm going in there for like the video series that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. It just all depends. Cause I mean, with that video series, I have a set budget that I have for that specific video. But conventions, I mean, I would say it's probably free game because I'll come across pieces that I feel like I never see ever, or like if I see it in person and I know it's in good condition and I want it, I'm definitely going to buy it. No matter what the price is, it depends, but that's kind of my methodology. So between those two things, I'll usually lean towards spending more at a convention though.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about our generation that causes our childhood toys to mean so much more to us than, say, for instance, our parents' generation?
Oh, wow. Great question. I would say for us, I mean, we grew up in an age, at least for me, I grew up in an age, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, that there was technology, I think, was starting to kind of transform into what it was today. So things were going from like the internet age was starting to get like really big, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I think it's just the way that we grew up and how information was displayed for us. And we're able to like, and now, I mean, obviously people that are older from us can like go back and like watch like old shows and stuff really easily this way. But I just feel like it's the way that we grew up is just kind of the way that we collect and we remember things and that kind of stuff. So, and maybe it's just, I don't know, that's kind of the way that I'm thinking about it. Just the way that we can remember things and the way that we had access to things maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, that would require Funko to get a certain license that they're probably never going to get. I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute. I remember watching Captain in the game. Oh, damn it. We're never going to get those pops. What the hell am I thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. They make all sorts of random stuff. You never know.
They got a lot of licenses.
Yeah.
They haven't cracked the Nintendon't license yet.
That is very true. That would open up another can of worms for me. That's for sure.
Man, that would. Yeah. Because for me, all as I remember is all of the, when Mario 3 came out and Mario, I remember all of the Happy Meal toys, like the Mario Raccoon, the Mario Cape, the Yoshi, the Bowsers, all that. Like, I remember all that stuff. Oh, man. What is your motivation for purchasing toys to display, play, fiddle? Describe your collecting style. Are you a completionist, storyteller, cherry picker, or otherwise?
Ooh, I would say I'm partially a completionist, and then maybe that kind of contradicts itself maybe a little bit. I am 100% on the Simpsons line, on the Funko Simpsons line, so I'll give myself that. Mm-hmm. So it depends. I would say I'd probably lean more towards completionist, because if there's something that I really like, I definitely want to get every single Funko Pop from that line.
Yep.
So I think I'd probably lean more towards that.
Yeah. And again, it's more about the characters you love, but if you love, like, I'm in the middle of my goal this year, and I think have I scratched enough of that off, maybe? I don't remember what the highest value Batman the Animated Series pop is, but, like, I've been trying to complete that set. Yeah. So, because I love Batman the Animated Series, Kevin Conroy passed away a few years ago.
That's right, that's right.
That kind of stuff, and
yeah.
That was my goal by my birthday, which is next month. Not going to complete that, but I'll switch the date to the end of the year now that it's a new year and see if I can. I think I just need the robot Batman, the regular Batman, Robin, the Joe. There's a whole list. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can be complete on a certain line if it's the characters in the show or whatever, like, front, but you don't have to have 4,000 pops in somewhere in Canada. I don't understand.
I don't know. Cause like, cause there's things that, like, the different variants that they make of things, and uh-huh. that kind of does bug me. But I think with, like I said, like I brought up the Simpsons line, like, they make enough characters that it doesn't mm-hmm. feel repetitive to me. Like, obviously there's a good amount of, like, Homer and Bart's, but it's nothing to the fact that it's like, it's a chrome one, or it's like a scented, well, I don't know how you do scented, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not stupid variants. It's like ones that are like them as different, you know, things.
Yeah. In the show, so it's like, so it's cool stuff, and it's referential stuff. I'm not as like, I love the Simpsons. I grew up on the Simpsons just like you did, but I'm not out to collect all of the Simpsons, but I will, like, I have Bartman. Yeah. I have Raven Bart.
Yeah, from Treehouse of Horror. Yep, yeah,
Treehouse of Horror. I have, I think I have a Homer. I forget which Homer I had. Oh, a couple of years ago, I don't know if I sold it or not, but I had Ape Homer and Marge Panther from Treehouse of Horror. Okay. It's those specific, or characters that were never, I'm sure whichever company had the Simpsons license years ago, I forget if it was Bandai or Playmates or whoever the hell was the original, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a Chief Quimby action figures, but, like, you think of the character, like, Kang and Kodos.
Yeah.
I don't remember if there was specific action figures of the aliens ever. No. So, you know, you got that too. But, you know, again, it's choice of character in something that you may not ever get in any other form. And that's what is so great about Funko.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm actually looking at some of my collection right now, and there's one that I'm thinking of that I love Looney Tunes, and they have mm-hmm. a bunch of really cool Looney Tunes pops, but there's some of them that they've been making lately that are just, I don't know why they're making them. Like, so they have different, like, Looney Tunes characters from, like, other WB licenses, so it'll be like Bugs Bunny is like Harry Potter, or like Bugs Bunny is like Fred mm-hmm. from Scooby-Doo, and I'm like, this is so dumb. Why are we?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need this. Like, it's... And as much as I love Looney Tunes, that's an example of stuff that I feel like is unnecessary, because it's something that really didn't exist, and maybe it did in some form, and I'm just not aware. But, like, I don't know. I just don't feel like it's a necessary thing.
Yeah, no, I don't. I agree with you 100%. I do not like if you're going to do, like, a Space Jam New Legacy crossover where Bugs is Batman and whatever is, well, okay, fine, I get it, because Batman and Warner Brothers and blah, 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 fine. But, like, I don't need Bugs Bunny as hair. Like, I want King Bugs, or I want something from the cartoons that I watched as a kid, like the Bugs and Hyde 2-pack or whatever, you know, all that stuff. Like, I think, I don't know if I have Shaggy or not. I think I've I think I have all the dogs I need for a Scooby-Doo. I only really needed like one regular version of Scooby, and I think I have him with his Scooby snacks. And then I just recently got the Flocked Box Lunch purple version of Scooby because purple is my color. It's kind of my thing.
Well, you got that one for me.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. I was like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. That's right. Thank you. And I have Scrappy because Scrappy was a gift from somebody a couple of years ago. And like, do I want Fred, Velma, and all them? Yeah, sure, eventually one of these days, but it's not like super high on my list. I want Funko to make more Transformers pops than anything else and not hide them behind the stupid NFT wall.
Ooh, yeah. They have some great ones. It's unfortunate that they're NFTs, though. They're a little harder to get that way.
I mean, I get it. Now that they're out, you could go on the secondary market and pay whatever the prices are, whatever. But sure. Just the whole thing. I'm the type of person, and I'm saying this for you, the audience knows this by now after X number of years this show's been on the air. If I want something, I want to be able to go and get it. End of story. Like, I don't want to gamble on toy collecting. I don't want a potentiality of getting – like, if I'm going to spend the money, especially on like with your $50 – like, let's say you do a $100 challenge where you're trying to get a $500 Funko Pop or something. I don't know. Whatever. But the point is, I'm not going to sit here and put down $100 on the potentiality of getting something I want. I'm going to go out and spend that $100 on the thing I want so I can get it.
Yeah, it is annoying that it's kind of locked behind that. If it's like taking a chance, it's almost gambling. And it is like gambling, it is gambling if you think about it. Yeah, 100%. I don't know. There could be ways, and I think from Funko's standpoint, I don't know how much more money they're making that way. Like, I would imagine. I mean, it's probably more because they're not having to produce a ton of stuff, like, and overproduce. So, I mean, from a business standpoint for them, that makes sense, but. As far as like a consumer standpoint and your the overall happiness of collecting it, yeah, it definitely kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth for sure.
Yeah. Man. Do you do any toy modifications or customs, painting, building dioramas, etc.?
You know, I haven't really done any custom stuff myself. There's a lot more way talented people out there than me that do that kind of stuff. Something that I really like that I am not great at, but people are really good at creating like custom Funkos like digitally and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they do some really cool concepts. And I think that's something that I would love to get maybe more into, but I just don't think I'm talented enough in that regard to do it. So I'll leave the customization to other people, but I do 100%. I do appreciate the art of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think toy companies should specifically have adult collector toys, child toys, or find a way to mix both?
I mean, honestly, it can be interpreted as whatever. Because, I mean, you look at Funko, I would probably say it's probably lean more towards adults.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, kids can collect it too. So I feel like we're in a day and age now that like companies will just make things that are geared towards everyone. Obviously, I mean, you'll go into Walmart and you'll see like the younger kids like toy section and stuff. And that obviously is more dedicated to that, but there still could be some collectability aspect into those kind of things too. So, but I would say for the most part that most things nowadays are, you know, it kind of crosses both different paths of adults or kids. I honestly don't think there's really like one fine like thing that just says, hey, this is made for whoever. I mean, I guess it depends on what the license is, and a kid probably doesn't know much. You were mentioning ALF earlier. A kid probably doesn't know much about ALF, so that would be more towards, you know, adults. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Or you know, more of the like the adult, like the, some of the movies lines, like Godfather pops.
Oh yeah.
No child is gonna, or White Men Can't Jump. No child is gonna want Sydney or whatever his name is. Like, no, they want superheroes, they want SpongeBob, they want turtles, they want whatever kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
Oh, I don't think so. Because, I mean, when I was growing up, I'd always, like, I don't know if I was borderline like a hoarder as a kid, like collecting things, but they knew if they messed with my stuff that it would not end well. So I don't think I have anything that I can think of that they would throw away stuff because, oh boy, I would get super mad if that's the case. And maybe, I don't think I have a good story, but yeah, they knew that that was kind of like my avenue of, you know, having fun. So they would never really touch any of that stuff. Even if they found something today that they were like, oh, they'd probably ask about it. Obviously they wouldn't just like throw it away straight up. And especially now, cause they know that I do a lot of stuff with like YouTube that involves collecting. They 100% wouldn't do it now either.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Do you feel you are coming to an end of your active collecting? If so, what has signified this phase for you? Was there ever a moment when you were done with toys altogether, and have you ever considered stopping as a collector or even selling the whole collection?
Oh man, I don't think there'll ever be a point where I don't stop collecting. It'll always be, you know, there'll always be high and low points where I collect more than I do less of things, but I don't think I've ever thought about selling like my whole collection. I mean, at some points I think I saw some like old stuff, like I was telling you earlier that like I had some old video games that I sold.
Yep.
And I did kind of regret doing that, but yeah, I don't think, I don't know. It honestly ebbs and flows. And I don't think I'll ever stop collecting. It may be something different in the future, but for right now, I don't see myself ever stopping. Will I be like I was like years ago, buying tons of stuff? Probably not. I'm more picky on the stuff that I like now. I don't buy a ton of new stuff, but so, yeah.
Yeah, I look at all the current, like, and commons versus exclusives, I don't really, as long as I like the character, if it's a store exclusive, fine, whatever. Like, that doesn't really bother me at all. Like, there are perfectly fine common Funko Pops that are, you know, they don't need 17 stickers on the box.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm trying to think of one that, let's
see here. I'm looking around my office as well. I'm like, do I have a good one of like some current ones? I mean, I bought all the Muppets Christmas Carol ones.
Yeah,
those are kind of cool.
Yeah, I still
like those.
Yep. Yeah. I need to get those, and I need to get the Rudolph set. I haven't got that yet. But like, again, this isn't exactly a character that I'm super whatever on, but you take the, again, White Men Can't Jump, Billy Hoyle, Woody Harrelson's character, it's him holding the basketball with his hand out, and it's just the character from the movie. Okay, that's a common pop. There's nothing wrong with that pop. There's nothing wrong with, like, if you love the movie, then you're going to want the collectible kind of thing. So I've never understood why some people out there in the Funko community are like, ew, common pops, those are bad. Like, no, they're not bad. No, like, God, some people. I don't get it, dude. Don't get it.
You'll find that in every, you know, different community. Yeah, you'll find some head scratchy people, you know, that you're just like, I don't understand. But to each their own. You can collect however you want, but yeah, yep. I get what you're saying.
What is something that does not have a toy of it you'd love to see in toy form?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, if we're on the topic of Funko Pops, which that's probably where we're at right now, I would have to say, I mean, I would love some more SpongeBob Pops. That would be great. There's some characters that I think would make some really cool pops. I don't know how familiar you are with SpongeBob, but like, the Flying Dutchman, like, I think that would make a really cool one. Like a glow in the dark pop would be awesome. I mean, there's some like more Futurama characters that I would love to see as pops. More Simpsons characters, obviously, and Bob's Burgers. I love Bob's Burgers, too. So I'd love to see some more Bob's Burgers pops. So it'd probably be those. I mean, specific characters, I'm trying to think. Like, Apu would be cool from The Simpsons. I know that there's some controversy behind that they, you know, he's not on the show anymore and things. But
yeah,
that would be a cool pop to get. I mean, I don't know. It would. There's kind of generally, like, just those things that I would like to see more pops of. So...
Yeah, absolutely.
What is a toy you'd love to have scaled up and functional for the real world?
Ooh, I mean, they're already making gigantic Funko Pops. So, but then again, I'm like, do I really want something that it's that big, you know, like a life-size thing? Like, they have the big displays that are at, like, conventions or in front of, like, or inside of, like, the headquarter stores and things, but... I mean, for me, I just like them the way they are. I don't know if I'd really wanted to get something that's that big, but I think it would be cool. I mean, if you got like a gigantic one, like maybe just like one of the Simpsons ones would be fun. But as far as like for me that I'm thinking from a collecting standpoint, I don't think I'd want something that's that big. But so I don't know.
I've got an idea for a life-size pop moment now.
Okay.
I don't know if this will ever happen because it's a crossover that's. Well, no, Disney owns it all, so it probably could happen.
Okay.
Tony Stark Iron Man with the helmet off. Inside Lard Lad's Donut with Nick Fury standing just outside of the just at the bottom of where the store is. So
okay,
it would be Large Lad with Tony inside the donut and then Nick Fury next to it.
Okay. That's perfect. Okay, yeah. I didn't even think of that. That would be a good one. Now you got me reconsidering my a former statement there. Oh man, I don't know. That would be an epic one. That'd be cool.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Question 37 in a row. How has your wife dealt with your collection?
You know what? I think she's embraced it because there's been a lot of cool things that I've been able to do with this YouTube channel. And I think that she's and I try and involve her as much as I can. She's not in a ton of videos, but for the things that we're able to go to and some of the people that we're able to meet, like I think that she embraces that. I think she likes the fact she loves opening like mystery boxes and things. So whenever there's like mystery aspect of things that I get, whether it's things that I buy or things that are sent to me, she really loves that. So, I mean, 100% she supports it. She kind of sees, you know, how my – well, more from a collecting standpoint, like she thinks it's cool. But the fact that I'm able to make it a business too, I think that makes more sense to her.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Toy collecting can have its struggles. What is one aspect you tend to struggle with the most?
Oh, you probably get this all the time, but it's space. Space.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, 100% space. And I even, like I said earlier, that I have like a pretty decent sized room down in my basement, but still then I'm like, oh geez, this is we're running out of space. Can I get another room? Can we extend a little bit? But then you're like, do I need
to build out the basement? Can we like, you know, take 3 feet of the neighbor's yard, please, or 10 feet or whatever?
Like, hey, can I take over another room? Like, is that okay? And she'll probably be like, no thanks.
No. Yeah. My problem with you're absolutely right, space, and I only have just over or under 300 pops, and I don't even think I have them all here. I think there's some in storage, but I started doing this thing that no one else has done, and everyone says that I'm a lunatic for doing. I have my collection sorted by the year the thing happened.
Okay.
So it starts with Abraham Lincoln, who was born in whatever year he was born in. He became president. I think he was born in 1809. He became president in 1860.
It goes from, literally like.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant like early. Oh.
No.
Never heard of that before.
Yeah. Okay. So when we get to the 80s and 90s, so Masters of the Universe was 83. Transformers was 84. New Kids on the Block was 84. She-Ra was 85. Blah, 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 blah. Get to the 90s, Batman the Animated Series was 92, Boy Meets World was 93. So I've been doing it by year, by whatever the property was that it debuted, or whenever the character, like, again, some of the historical characters and some of the real life people, it's like you have to look at when they were born to figure that out, because that just makes the most sense.
Abe Lincoln, what would be the oldest though?
Yep.
Like our collections aside, what would be the oldest pop? I'm trying to even think. All right, like I don't even know.
Huh.
Do we got a Jesus pop in there? We could throw a Jesus in there. I don't know if you want to get biblical. he'd be old. I don't even know. But yeah, Abe. Yeah, that's cool. That definitely takes a lot of dedication though.
yeah.
Hats off to you.
A lot of dedication and a spreadsheet a mile long, because I have to make sure that I have – that I, you know, you talk about, you know, scanning things into – oh, man, if I had an app that I could do it by the way I wanted – if I could build my own personal Funko app to do it just the way I'm – like, oh, God, did I write this down? Did I not write this down? Like, oh, crap. And then I don't have enough space. And like I said, I just have under or over 300. Honestly, at some point, I'm going to half the collection because I don't need – I live in a one-bedroom apartment. So it's like they kind of take over the whole place.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Definitely have to pick and choose the things that you are like, 100% I want this.
Yep.
I don't really care about this other stuff. So I think everybody comes to that point, though.
Yeah, absolutely. What is one positive and one negative memory you have with buying toys?
Oh, oh man, there's, I mean, it's easier to remember negative stuff, that's for sure. You know, I mean, I feel like in the earlier days, I actually saw more negative stuff within Funko. Like, I felt like releases and things at stores were a lot crazier. Like, showing up to Hot Topic if you wanted something and there was like a chase variant of it. I felt like there used to be tons more people. And like just the method of ways that people were trying to like sneak into malls and things like that to me is like the most negative thing. I'm just like, well, I guess you outsmarted me in a way to like get to something. But like that just seems like it's overkill, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't think of like a specific story, but like there were so many instances where stuff like that happened. Somebody would get kicked out. Somebody would yell. Maybe a little shoving intentionally happened. I don't even
know. What was like, the guy at Target with Twinkie the friggin' Kid? Like, really? You're going to get into a fight over Twinkie the Kid Pop? Really?
I forgot about that.
Like, really? Like,
oh my. And that thing is probably, like, if you look at it from a value standpoint, it's only worth maybe, like, $35 now or something, yeah, you know? Like,
I remember... Me, it wasn't really, it was more of a rat race than anything else, but they announced, I think it was the Flocked Bullseye at Target.
Uh-huh.
I showed up like 20 minutes before the store opened.
Yeah.
And apparently I should have showed up 30 minutes before the store opened because there were at least six of them. I'm like, we're all here to get the Bullseye, right? And they're like, yep. I'm like, crap, there's probably only going to be six of these things. Yeah. So I didn't. I'm not one of those types of people that I'm going to bulldoze and push people out. It's not me. I'm not going to do that. But I was first one in. I was first one back there, and I got one. Hey, I just went, paid for it, and that was that. But yeah. I remember when I got there, I was like, oh, crap, there's six other people here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like,
but, you know, it's Bullseye.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, if you're there first, like, I don't have a problem with that. It's just the ways of, like, finding.
Yeah, it's the to, way like, you go. But, yeah.
I don't know. It's
that's
weird.
Not. No, don't do that. That's no, that's no, no, no.
But I all think, right. Like, some of my more, like, if we're going back to, like, the good side, because I feel like we got to bring up the good stuff. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Some of the events that I've been to, like, different Funko events, I think that would probably be, like, the highest point of, you know, collecting and just, you know, when I've been a part of, you know, collecting Funko Pops and stuff, like some of those events are just so fun. And I think that if you're, no matter like how big of a collector you are, you got to experience one of those events. I think they're just really fun.
Yeah.
And that's probably been the highlight, at least for me. Like I went to, they were celebrating, I think it was the HQ 5-year anniversary over in Seattle. And like that event was awesome, and there wasn't like a ton of people there really or anything, and like I had so much fun. So I don't know, you gotta, and it could even be like a local collecting event too, like if there's a pop swap or something, like it doesn't even have to be like something that you have to travel super far for, like you just do your research, and those are some of the fun like the most fun experiences that I've had.
Yeah. Didn't you go to Fun Days last year?
I did go to Fun Days. Yeah. And
what
a lot of people, and a lot of people are saying they're like, yeah, you like somebody gave you tickets. No, I actually, I bought tickets bought myself.
Tickets. Like,
yeah,
that's
another, that's maybe another like sour part to that, but that experience like had a good part to it. And there's bad people, 'cause like they just, you know, call you out and stuff like that. But like, no, Fun Days was fun too. I thought it was great.
Yeah. That's what I don't understand about more so the Funko YouTube community than anything else, just because, like, let's say you put out a video or somebody puts out a video about, let's say, Fun Days as an example, yeah. and you specifically say in the video, I got or I bought tickets to Fun, like, most people will say in advance, hey, look, I was given these, or I was this, or I was gifted these, or whatever. Like, nobody's hiding under the couch whether they were sponsored to go out there or whatever, which most of the YouTube people were not, which is fine because, you know, it is what it is. But, like, some of these people on YouTube are like, oh, my God, you got that because you're in bed with – like, no, we're not in bed with the company. Leave us alone. Like, we bought it just like everybody else could buy it.
No, I mean, and I've actually worked with Funko on a couple of different things, so I'll be transparent about that. And it's not, but it's not everything. I mean,
yeah, no, it's
not there's some things that you get yourself and you make videos about yourself. But yeah, I mean, I'll be fully transparent. I've done stuff with them before, but
yeah. So since you have done stuff with them before, if you could create any toy from any company, what would you want to create? So basically, Funko gives you the keys to the kingdom. No budget is too high. What would you do?
You know, I'm a man of the. If I'm a man of the people, I'd release Nintendo Pops for everybody. I'd open the floodgates. I'd say, you want a Mario Pop? Perfect. You want one of Bowser? Go right ahead. Here we go. Like, yeah, I feel like that's probably the number one that would go absolutely bonkers. Like, people would love it.
Yeah, if they got that license, it would be a license for them to print money.
Yeah, I feel like I don't think there's all hope is lost on that. Like, I feel like maybe someday we'll see something. I just can't imagine like that it would never happen.
Yeah,
there has to be some sort. It's probably some sort of financial deal that. Yeah. I don't know which side wants more. Well, obviously, you know, if you're Funko, you want more money. But
yeah.
I mean, like, there's got to be some compromise that's going on. And whether Nintendo could be stingy, too, like, because their license is pretty hard to, you know, they don't like to go into other things that's not their own. You know, they're pretty tight knit on that kind of stuff. So I just feel like it'll eventually happen. It might not be the way that we expect, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And like you were saying earlier about some of these concept artists. Oh, man. Some of the Nintendo concepts I've seen for Pops, I'm like, Funko, Nintendo, what is – just do it already, please. Yeah. Just
come to an agreement. I mean, exactly. You guys are both going to make money. Let's just –
yeah, let's just –
And I get like Amiibo is a big thing, and maybe that's why they don't want to do that. And – but I don't think that would like detract from like Amiibo collecting, because there's some utility to that where you can actually use Amiibos for like games and stuff. So
that's what I was thinking. The Amiibos are to use with whatever game that's included that you.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It would just be super cool if it ever happened.
True.
What is the one piece of advice you'd give the toy collecting fandom in general?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different ways that you can look at collecting. And I mean, people can collect for whatever reason they want. I'm not going to judge anybody to say that they collect for value or collect for sentimental. Like I said, you could go about it however you want. I mean, obviously it's really important to set a budget on things. Mm-hmm. Don't like go into debt collecting. Like, and if you want to collect something and you can only get like one certain thing at a time, definitely do it that way. Like, just be smart about it. Have fun with it. Don't let it be stressful, whatever you collect. And yeah, I that'd probably be the best advice that I could give. Just have fun with it.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it. We're going to go to one more ad break and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Oh, hey, I got something!
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the GeekCast Radio Network. We are ToonCast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy Toon Talk, and now we get the origins of Toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. ToonCast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the Toon Talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all Toons all the time here on ToonCast.
Yeah. Hey guys, this is Mason. I just wanted to hop in here and tell you about my YouTube channel, Wasatch Pop. Essentially, it's dedicated to everything pop culture and collectibles, but I like to really focus on Funko Pops and obviously the other things that I enjoy and collect. But I like to go out on hunts to different stores to see if I can track down the things that I'm looking for. And I also like to do a little bit of twist where I go to like thrift stores, garage sales, try to find things, you know, to fund my collection in order to not spend a ton of money. I also go to different events, stores, conventions, and if that's something that interests you, definitely be sure to subscribe. And hope to see you over on the channel.
Ah, meet public.
All right, folks, we are back here on ToyCast, and ToyCast is back here in 2024. Mason, Mr. Wasatch Pop, something I did not ask you yet. Where did the name come from?
Okay, so people ask me all the time. They're like, how do you... Some people don't even know how to say it. But yeah, Wasatch... Wasatch comes from, so I'm from Utah. There's a lot of mountains here in Utah. And so the Wasatch Mountain Range is the biggest one. Like, it's literally like in my backyard. I can like see it right there. And so I figured, you know, kind of give some Utah ties to my name. So Wasatch comes from that. And then pop, obviously, it could be pop culture or even Funko Pops, if you will. So kind of combine those two things. If I were to go back, I'd probably maybe retool my name a little bit, maybe something that's easier to say, but you know, I guess it's unique enough that somebody remembers it, but yeah, that's kind of the origin of it, though.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could always name it after the basketball team. No, you don't want to do that.
The Jazz.
The Jazz Pop. Jazz Pop. All right. So tell everybody about your lovely YouTube channel, sir.
So the channel Wasatch Pop, it's all about collecting. I like to focus a lot on Funko because it just encapsulates so many different things that I enjoy, from, you know, cartoons, video games, pop culture, you name it. Funko makes a lot of different stuff. I like to, you know, go out and hunt down things, looking for things to add to my collection. I also like to show that you can, you know, fund your own collection by finding good deals and things. So that's a big part of the channel, is going out to, you know, to like thrift stores, garage sales, other things like that. So I like to add my own little twist in that way. And then, I mean, that would pretty much essentially be it, is just a lot of collecting, that kind of stuff, and just fun videos, the things that I like to collect, the things that I like to make videos about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You can check out his channel. The link will be in the show notes, folks, on geekcastradio.com. Thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. As I said a second ago, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching clients like Spotify and Apple and all that stuff. We're on all of the social media platforms, I think. ToyCast is specifically on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, or X, is at TFToyCast, and I think Facebook is just ToyCast. All those links are in the show notes, as always. Next time on ToyCast, I don't know. It's probably going to be another Origins episode. I'm not sure. I did want to do, with my buddy Josh, who helped me bring the show back 3 years ago. Has it been three? Wow. 2021 was 3 years ago. Holy crap.
Wow.
yeah, I know, right? I feel old. I wanted to do the, what was it called? Cause he likes, the neon 90s. That's what it is. Cause he's big into neon toys, and neon was big in the 90s for toys and stuff like that. So we may be doing one of those. I don't know. But ToyCast will be back this year. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Wasatch Pop.
Join us next time when we'll be talking more toys here on ToyCast.